السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام دينا، صدق الله العظيم. علماء الكرام، most respected brothers and also our sisters listening over the receivers, you have heard this ayat many, many times, and especially when speeches and talks were delivered on the virtues of Hajj. But today I wish to bring across to you something else, and that is that in this ayat Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, Al-yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum. This day I have perfected for you your religion. Wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati. And I have completed upon you my favors. وَرَضِيْتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينَ. And I am pleased that Islam be your way of life. That means for all times until the day of Qiyamah, the only acceptable way of life will be Islam. Now Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala calls Islam a favor. Allah ta'ala calls Islam a great ni'mat. All the teachings of Islam, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala declares as a great bounty upon the ummat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And this was the verse that was revealed in the plains of Arafat when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was there with his 124,000 companions in Hajjatul Wida. So now Allah ta'ala says that this Islam is a great ni'mat, and Allah ta'ala has made it reach perfection. So we have to ask ourselves the question that do we consider Islam as a ni'mat and all the teachings of Islam as a ni'mat? One is to consider certain parts or certain teachings of Islam as a bounty and as a gift and as a ni'mat, but then rejection of other parts or non-acceptance in the heart, the person is not happy with all the teachings of Islam, then we will say that he hasn't accepted this verse of the Quran Sharif. So we find it extremely difficult. We say that this getting up for Salat Fajr time and making namaz 5 times a day and fasting in Ramadan, sometimes it's so hot and sometimes it's so cold and sometimes the days are so long, and this giving of zakat and this leaving our homes and going for Hajj and enduring the difficulties there, going to Mina, Arafat, Muzdalifah, and then restraining ourselves from all the haram. Don't look at this, don't speak this. The disbelievers, they can make ghibat the whole day. They can speak lies the whole day. They can drink whatever they wish to. They can eat whatever they wish. They engage in adultery, in fornication. There's no real restriction for them. It's only whatever the government declares as forbidden, then that too, if the government is not watching, then they can indulge in that too. So when the person looks at all this, then he doesn't consider Islam as a ni'mat. He considers Islam as a great burden. And yet Allah Ta'ala says, Al-yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati. I have completed upon you my favors. So we have to look at it very broadly, that Allah Ta'ala declares Islam as a great ni'mat. So any teaching of Islam is a ni'mat. If we haven't created that environment, or if we have made it difficult for ourselves because of our indulgence in excessive amount of sins, no government of the world has forced us to bring into our homes those porn films and videos and movies. No government of the world has forced us that you must commit adultery or fornication. There could be laws, there could be legislation that it is permissible. That if there is consensus, then there is no problem. That is government legislation. But they did not force any Muslim that you must go to the cinema, you must go and commit adultery. You must drink. You must indulge in all these type of vices. They haven't forced anybody. So if we have created that kind of environment within our homes or our lives, we have made it difficult to practice, then we must blame ourselves, but don't find problems with Islam. So this is what Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, that Islam is a great ni'mat. It has reached perfection. Now take just one thing of Islam, that Islam declares stealing as haram and forbidden. Now all religions of the world declare that. Because if it is a religion of haq, because whether it was Christianity or Judaism or all these religions of the past, if they were divinely revealed books that they had received, then at that stage it was haq. Then all the alterations, additions, interpolations caused a cancellation of those books, so we will not make amal on that. But in all those books you will find the same thing when it comes to, for example, stealing. Now Islam also says stealing is totally haram. Now look at the person, if he says that this is restricting our progress, that the person can become rich overnight if he has to organize a bank hold up and get a few millions, then rich he can become overnight. So now we are restricting his progress. Islam is restricting his progress. Then will any sensible person accept that? Because we know that what happens in the process. How many children become yatim when there's shootings? And how many widows? And how many women become widows? And how many lives are lost? And how many people, their hard-earned wealth is taken away from them within a few seconds? And look at the trauma that they experience after the hold-up. Now, so Sharia declares it haram. So anything, it's not only stealing, in the same way, whether it is drinking, whether it's gambling, whether it's adultery or fornication, whether it is backbiting, whether it is carrying tales, whether it is cheating or deceiving somebody, anything and everything that Sharia declares as haram and forbidden, then it is a ni'mat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. If that society has to make amal on that, then it is a great ni'mat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So the person will only be able to appreciate these things as a great ni'mat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala if he has got a yaqeen in the akhirat. If he doesn't have a yaqeen in the akhirat that there is a life hereafter, then he will consider all these things as restrictions. Now for example, now there's going to be Valentine's Day tomorrow. Now what has Valentine's Day got to do with the Muslims? But yet you will find Muslim stores also advertising Valentine's Day, Valentine's gifts, Valentine's this and Valentine's that. What does it mean? It means that we are encouraging the Muslims to buy and purchase for the illicit beloveds those gifts. Now what does it lead to after that? It is a stepping stone to zina. So how can a Muslim even encourage such things? And it is a pagan custom. But we will follow suit. Whatever the disbelievers do, we will follow in their footsteps. If they believe that that is the way that they can gain plentiful of wealth, it is business time, all these are commercial gimmicks. So now the Muslim also will go blindly for that, and he will say that now if I have to practice on Sharia, all my neighbors are selling all these type of things and they've got big adverts, and then I will be restricted. I will not get the risk that Allah Ta'ala has destined for me. That is what he's trying to say indirectly. Whereas Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has destined every person's risk, and for the Muslim, if he is going to earn it in the halal way, then he will get barakat with it. So we have to teach our children that this has got nothing to do with Islam, and we must not go anywhere near these type of customary practices of the disbelievers. If there is a Hindu festival of Diwali, then our children will also buzz the crackers. We will also be the biggest buyers, our children will be the biggest buyers of those fireworks. If it's Christmas time, then again we'll go for all those things that have a Christmas emblem on it. In everything we will just follow them. So therefore the person can only appreciate Islam as a gift if he has a yaqeen that there is an akhirat. If we don't have that yaqeen, we just have a knowledge that there is a hereafter. We are seeing the janazas going every day and we say, yes, one day our death too will come. But we don't have that yaqeen, then it is not going to create a revolution in our lives. It's not going to change our direction of life. Jaisi karni, vaisi bharni hai zarur. Jaisi karni vaisi varni hai zarur. Whatever you are going to do, that is exactly what you are going to reap. Ek din mayyat qabr mein utarni hai zarur. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when he recited the verse of the Quran Sharif, in the Hadith Sharif it is mentioned that when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, lamma tala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, man yuridillahu an yahdiyahu yashrah sadrahu lil Islam. Like, by way of explanation, that whomsoever Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has decided to give guidance, and Allah ta'ala gives guidance to the person who wants guidance. If the person is in search of guidance, he wants hidayat, he's seeking from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala hidayat, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala opens for him the doors of hidayat. We must not think that Allah ta'ala has closed the doors of hidayat from the time that the person was born, and therefore he is destined for the fire of Jahannam, and we must not blame him for any of his actions and deeds. That is a misunderstanding. Allah ta'ala has given every person a willpower, and we are going to be questioned with regards to the usage of that willpower. So Allah ta'ala revealed the Quran Sharif, he sent the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, he sent us guides. So now that guidance, if we are in search of it and we are seeking it, then Allah ta'ala will give it. So Allah ta'ala says, the person whom Allah ta'ala decides to guide, and that's what it means then. Then Allah ta'ala gives him an expanse in his heart, in his chest. Allah ta'ala gives him an expanse. He widens his chest. So now widens the chest, what does that mean now? Does it mean that the person now, if he goes and looks into the mirror, after he got guidance, so then his chest has expanded so much that he has to buy an oversized coat? It doesn't mean anything like that. So therefore, look at the Sahaba Ikram radiallahu anhu ajma'in. Immediately they asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that, what is this shara? قِيلَ لَهُ مَا هَذَا الشَّرَ. What is this shara that you are talking about, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that there will be an expanse? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that when nur enters into the heart, when nur enters into that heart, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives an expanse, widens that, and Allah ta'ala gives him hidayat. That, so now the Sahaba ikram asked that, is there any sign now that the nur has entered this person's heart? This nur that has entered the heart of hidayat, what is the sign that this nur has entered? Now, there can be only two ways. One is that the person claims himself that I've got great amount of nur in my heart. Now how are you going to really test that person's claim? Each and every one of us can claim, I've got great nur in my heart. So either he brags about himself that I've got great amount of nur in my heart, but then you cannot test that person's claim. Or that you must be able to see into his heart. Now how are we going to be able to see into his heart? So again look at the Sahaba Ikram, the companions of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, they ask, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, are there any signs of this nur having entered the heart of this person? What is the sign that this person has really got this light in his heart now of hidayat? We all say that we are on hidayat and we want hidayat. So what is that hidayat now? How do we know that nur of hidayat has entered his heart? So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, who was receiving wahi from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala all the time, he said, At-tajafi andaril ghurur. That is one of the signs that this person has got that nur in his heart. That his heart become, there is no more taste left for this world. This world which is of deception. The person does not have an interest in the world. He doesn't have a taste and an enjoyment for the world. He does not have his heart attached to the world. Again, you must keep all those explanations before you, that which I have mentioned many, many times. Otherwise, just now we will say that what Maulana is saying is that we must close all our shops, we must close our homes, we must divorce our wives and children and get away into the jungles or dig up one grave and go and sleep in there, because we must detach ourselves from the world. That is not what it means. Dunya ke mashghalon mein bhi wo ba khuda rahe, wo sab ke saath reh ke bhi sabse juda rahe. That in all the occupations of this world, but his heart is with Allah Ta'ala. What is my Allah pleased with? Now will Allah Ta'ala will be pleased with this Valentine's Day celebration? If some Muslim has to go and purchase something for his beloved on this Valentine's Day, then will Allah Ta'ala be pleased with that kind of purchase? But yet if he goes and purchases something for his wife or for his children on any other day, and he's got this niyat that I am doing that because it will please my Allah Ta'ala that I am taking care of my wife and children who are beloved to me. Then he will get sawab, he will get reward. So dunya is not the name of gold, silver, good home, good car. Dunya is the name of that deception, that when the person is, his heart is attached to those worldly things and he just follows blindly whatever desire comes in his heart, even though it may be totally against the Quran and Sunnah. What must we cry over? Wallah, what I say, I'm telling you the truth. I'm in the masjid. And I don't mention names because 8,000 people went for Hajj. So nobody knows who I'm talking about. But this woman says that my husband was involved in a relationship with a certain woman. And we were having arguments all the time. Nevertheless, he then decided to go for Hajj. So expecting that now when he's going to return from Hajj, then he will be a changed person. So when he returned from Hajj, he was packing into one bag some items. And he packed that bag and he was going. And for whom was he taking those items? He was taking for that same illicit beloved of his. And where did he purchase that from? From Makkah, Madinah, Sharif. Na'uzu billahi min zalik. Now this is our Hajj of today. So dunya ke mashghalon mein bhi wo ba khuda rahe. So sab ke saath rehke bhi sab se juda rahe. They are with everybody. They laugh, they joke, they eat, they drink, they do everything. But their hearts are with Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That what are they pleased with, they will do that. And no matter how much it pleases their heart to do anything that is wrong and haram and forbidden, they will shatter the desire of that heart, but they will not shatter the hukam of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. That is the first sign that they've got some kind of noor in their heart. وَالْإِنَابَةُ إِلَىٰ دَارِ الْخُلُودِ. And they're turning towards that home which is forever and ever. That means their interest now is the akhirat. That whatever they are doing in this world also, they know that it is a temporary world. It is transitory. It is just a bridge over which you cross into the hereafter. So therefore they are attaching themselves to the hereafter. There's no time for explanation today. And then the third thing that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentions, وَالِاسْتِدَادُ لِلْمَوْتِ قَبْلَ نُزُولِهِ. And the preparation for death before death comes. That is their desire, that we must be prepared for death before it comes. Now how many of us are really prepared for death? How many of us can say we are ready? One great wali of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Sahib rahmatullah alayh, he said, ab to aaja, ab to khalwat ho gayi, har tamanna dil se rukhsat ho gayi. Har tamanna dil se rukhsat ho gayi, ab to aaja, ab to khalwat ho gayi. Oh Allah, every desire of mine has now left my heart. I've got no desire left for anything else. My heart, I've emptied it of all desires. The only desire that I have, oh Allah, is that you come into my heart. And when Allah Ta'ala will come into the heart, and if that is the only desire of the person, then it doesn't mean again that he's not going to eat, not going to drink, he's not going to marry, he's not going to run his business. He'll be even running a big government sometimes. Look at the Sahaba-i-Kiram. Look at the Khulafa-i-Rashideen. Massive empires they were controlling and ruling over. But look at their lives, all the time concerned that our Allah must not become displeased with us. Again, I cannot help but repeat something that has come in my mind, which you have heard many times. Laakh aaye musibat to parwa nahi, laakh toote sitam uska shikwa nahi. Laakh aaye musibat to parwa nahi, laakh toote sitam uska shikwa nahi. Chahe badle zamana nahi uska gham, chahe badle zamana nahi uska gham. Aap badle to apna thikana nahi. No matter what kind of trials, no matter what kind of tests, no matter what kind of difficulties, no matter what kind of hardships and problems I have to face, that was the life of the Sahabas. They say, we are unconcerned even if the whole world has to turn against us. But oh Allah, if you turn away your glance of mercy and rahmat from us, then it will be nothing but destruction. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is very loving, He's very forgiving, He's very kind, He's very merciful. He gives us opportunities to make tawbah, to return to Him. Now these are the three signs that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam gave to show that hidayat has come into the heart of that person, the nur of hidayat. Now we have to see how much of that nur do we have in our hearts. So, now imagine an opportunity Allah ta'ala gives to the person to go for Hajj, to be in Arafat, the place where Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's rahmat knows no limits and no bounds. But even there, the person has already purchased certain items which he has got in mind that the moment I return to South Africa, I'm going to go and give it to my haram, illicit beloved. Now, can du'as be then accepted at the Arafat? Or will there be a change in that person's life? So the same with everything. Those people may have gone for Hajj, but we sit here on the Jummah occasion, we sit at other namaz times, we sit in programs, we sit in majlises of zikr, we do deen work, we do da'wat work, we do so many things, but at that time, to at the back of our mind and in the deep recesses of our heart, what kind of muhabbat is there and for whom is the muhabbat there? That is what we must always check. If that muhabbat is for Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, if that muhabbat exceeds the love, if the muhabbat of Allah and His Nabi Alayhi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam exceeds the love of everything else, then that person is a successful person. We are not told you must not love your children, don't love your business, don't love your homes, but you must not exceed the love of Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And that will demand a sacrifice. It will demand some kind of pressure on the nafs. Now every day we get calls and handling cases, no, Mawlana, but I just can't do this. 1 hour before Jummah, now the lady says that I'm involved with a certain person. My husband is an excellent person, very good person. And I'm also very sound and good morals. And the person with whom I'm involved is also of a very naik and good character. So I want to get out of my marriage, he wants to get out of his marriage. Now this is our piety, this is our taqwa, this is our morals, this is our gauge by which we judge our piety. That we made namaz properly in the masjid in the first saf, or we made some zikr, some tilawat, we made some deen work, or we are teaching in some madrasa, or doing some other social and relief work. So finish. Morals are very high. Now how can the person's morals according to Islamic teachings be high when the person is involved in illicit love relationship? And this is where our whole iman is being tested today. Even if you don't make one tahajjud namaz, don't make one ishraq, one chasht, one awwabin, don't read one tasbih, but restrain yourselves from haram and you will become the wali of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And our iman is being tested where? Not in the masjid, it's being tested in the bazaars, in the marketplaces, in the aeroplanes. Now the person is returning from Hajj, last year's incident, he's returning from Hajj and he falls in love with an air hostess. And as soon as he arrives, after that their communication begins and then he divorces his wife. Is this Hajj? And look at the reports that we are getting of all the young boys and girls with the cell phones, what was carrying on in Mina and Arafat. May Allah Ta'ala give us hidayat. May Allah Ta'ala give us hidayat. May Allah Ta'ala give us hidayat. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala give us the understanding and the realization that until we are not going to please Him, we can do as much as we want. The difficulties, the problems of the Ummah will never go. And not one or two persons, large number of Muslims have to change. Then there will be a change in the condition of the Ummah. But nothing to lose hope. Allah Ta'ala is merciful, forgiving. Turn towards Him, make rujoo, and see how Allah Ta'ala opens the doors of His forgiveness and His mercy. Take one step towards Him, Allah Ta'ala will take many steps towards us. May Allah Ta'ala bless us all with hidayat. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.